I didn't realize I was being punished at first. That's the genius of it. Nothing slammed, no voices raised, no threats. Everything arrived with a smile and a calendar invite. A performance improvement plan sounds like help when you've spent your life trying to be competent. It sounds temporary, corrective, professional. What it actually became was a slow suffocation, executed in perfect handwriting. My manager never accused me of anything directly. He never had to. He just kept finding ways to write me down. Every email, every meeting summary, every quick follow-up quietly moved me closer to an ending he didn't want to own. There were no scenes, no HR interrogations, no final confrontation where someone says you're done. Just a growing file, neat and chronological, built to outlive my explanations. By the time I understood what was happening, the story about me was already written. I was still working there, still logging in, still delivering. But the version of me that mattered lived on paper, and that version was being prepared for disposal. I'd been with the company just under 4 years when the tone changed. Long enough to be trusted. Long enough to be visible. Long enough, apparently, to be inconvenient. We were a mid-sized financial services firm based in Edinburgh. The kind that loved words like governance and accountability and liked to pretend that hierarchy was just structure, not power. I was a senior analyst by title, but in practice I was the person people leaned on when deadlines started to wobble. My manager had arrived a year earlier, transferred from another division with a reputation for being process-driven. That phrase should have warned me. At first, he was polite to the point of performance. Always calm. Always agreeable. The sort of man who never raised his voice because he never needed to. Meetings ran on time. Emails were immaculate. Feedback was framed as curiosity. What I didn't notice immediately was how he watched. He kept notes. Not the casual kind people jot for memory, but the deliberate kind that survives scrutiny. Dates, times, phrases repeated back to you with quotation marks. It felt flattering at first, like being taken seriously. The first sign came after a quarterly review I thought had gone well. I'd met my targets, my projects were delivered, there were no complaints. A week later, he scheduled a development conversation. That was the phrase, development. He spoke gently about alignment, about expectations shifting as teams mature. He mentioned that while my output was strong, my approach could be more consistent. Consistent with what? I asked. He smiled and said consistency was something we'd defined together. That was when I should have paid attention. When language gets vague, it's because clarity would limit someone's options. After that, the documentation started. Small things at first. A follow-up email after a meeting summarizing what had been discussed, even when nothing had been contentious. A note copied to HR about a missed internal deadline that had already been resolved. He never framed these as problems. He framed them as records. I tried to adjust. I always do. I tightened timelines, over-communicated, sent summaries before he could. But the more careful I became, the more granular the observations got. Tone in emails, responsiveness in meetings, perceived defensiveness when questioned. Perceived is a dangerous word. It doesn't need evidence. What unsettled me most was how calm everyone stayed. HR was looped in early but quietly. Not as a warning, but as a presence. A silent witness. Every interaction started to feel like it had an audience, even when it didn't. I still believed it would pass. That this was a phase. That professionalism would win. I had no idea I was already standing inside a structure designed to prove I couldn't. The performance improvement plan arrived on a Tuesday morning. A PDF attachment. No drama, no build-up, just a meeting invite, titled Next Steps. He framed it as support, a tool, a chance to reset expectations. He said it was standard procedure, that lots of high performers go through them. That was a lie, but it was a comforting one. The document itself was beautiful in a way that should have scared me. Clean formatting, neutral language, objectives that sounded reasonable until you read them closely. Improve communication effectiveness. Demonstrate proactive alignment. Increase stakeholder confidence. None of it was measurable. All of it was subjective. Each objective came with examples of where I had supposedly fallen short. Some were distortions. Some were half-truths. Some were moments I barely remembered, now inflated with meaning. I challenged a few points calmly, pointing out inconsistencies. He nodded, thanked me for my perspective, and said we could note my disagreement in the file. That's when I understood. Disagreement didn't erase anything. It just became another entry. The plan required weekly check-ins, written self-assessments, manager assessments, HR visibility. Every week I had to explain myself before I was allowed to work. My actual job became secondary to narrating my own performance. I started sleeping badly. Not because I thought I was failing, but because I knew success wouldn't matter. I could meet every expectation and still be described as insufficiently transformed. I watched my manager closely then. He never looked angry, never impatient. This wasn't about emotion. It was about control. The plan allowed him to frame every interaction as evidence. If I spoke too much, it was dominance. If I spoke less, it was disengagement. If I pushed back, it was resistance. If I complied, it was performative. Colleagues noticed the shift. Some avoided me. Others offered sympathy quietly, never in writing. No one wanted their name anywhere near mine. That's another thing these processes do. They isolate you without announcing it. I considered going to HR myself, but HR was already there. They were CC'd. They attended meetings silently, faces blank, pens moving. They didn't challenge him because nothing he did broke policy. Policy was the weapon. I kept thinking if I stayed reasonable, if I stayed factual, it would protect me. But reason only matters when someone wants resolution. This wasn't about resolving anything. It was about building inevitability. By the final review, the language shifted. Progress acknowledged, but concerns remained. Momentum insufficient, confidence not restored. The conclusion wrote itself. I was offered an exit package framed as an opportunity. No termination, no dismissal, just a mutual decision to part ways. Clean. Professional. They didn't fire me. They documented me until leaving looked voluntary. I packed my desk in the early evening so fewer people would see. There was no security escort. No farewell email, just an access card that stopped working at midnight. For weeks afterward, I questioned myself. That's the residue no one talks about. When harm arrives politely, it's harder to name. I replayed meetings in my head, wondering if I had missed something obvious, if I'd been arrogant without realizing it, if the paper version of me was closer to the truth than the one I experienced. It took time to understand that what happened wasn't feedback gone wrong. It was conflict avoidance weaponized. My manager never wanted a confrontation, never wanted to say he didn't want me there. The process allowed him to achieve the same result without discomfort. I learned how dangerous systems become when they reward documentation over judgment. When the appearance of fairness replaces fairness itself. When no one has to be cruel because the mechanism does the work for them. In my next role, I recognized the signs immediately. Excessive note-taking, vague objectives, HR present too early. I watched others walk into the same trap, believing professionalism would save them. Sometimes I warned them, sometimes I didn't. Silence always has a cost, but speaking has one too. The worst part wasn't losing the job. It was losing trust in the idea that good work speaks for itself. It doesn't. Paper speaks louder. I still work hard. I still document. But now I understand the difference between accountability and erasure. One is meant to improve you, the other is meant to replace you quietly. They never raised their voices. They never insulted me. They never broke a rule. They just wrote me out, one polite paragraph at a time.